KXNO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump said moments ago he will be meeting very shortly with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Trump was meeting today with the leaders of two countries who he says will quit fighting after decades.
It's a big, beautiful honor to welcome everyone to the White House for this very historic peace summit between Armenia and Azerbaijan.
There is condemnation of Israel's decision to take over Gaza City. The Palestinian representative at the UN.
Our objective is to stop Israel from taking this extremely dangerous escalation.
Astronaut Jim Lovell has died. In 1970, his words from Apollo 13, "Houston, we have a problem," became his most famous.
About 200,000 miles out, as you might expect, we had that explosion. And right away, we didn't know what the situation was. But it turned out that we had an oxygen tank that blew up.
CBS News Brief.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. A recent report by the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin shows a growing number of county sheriff's offices participating in a collaborative program with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. The report from ACLU points to an increase in offices joining the 287G program. According to ICE.gov, this program authorizes ICE to delegate authority to state and local law enforcement officers to perform specified immigration officer functions. One of the key functions of the program is to give authority to local law enforcement to identify and remove criminal aliens. The Wood County Sheriff's Office is one of six county offices that joined the program this year. Wood County Sheriff Sean Becker says this doesn't change how his department operates.
The partnership that we have now hasn't changed in my whole career.
During that 30-year career, Sheriff Becker says the only thing that has changed now is the enforcement level on the federal side.
It didn't matter who was president. We've met with ICE people. We've had ICE holds on people who have committed crimes in Wood County.
Becker says their protocol is the same even after this partnership.
If somebody gets arrested in Wood County for committing a crime in Wood County and they are an illegal alien, all we do is notify ICE. Then it's period. Then it's up to them if they want to put a hold on them.
There's only one ICE hold currently in the Wood County Jail, according to Sheriff Becker, and that person has been accused of a homicide in Marshfield.
Once that person, I'm confident, will be convicted of the homicide, I still don't want them going to the other country that they're from, meaning to spend the rest of their life in our prisons.
Becker says if someone commits a crime in our community, the key is due process for everyone, illegal or not. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
The Packers preseason underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from training camp in Green Bay, where the Packers host the Jets tomorrow night in their first preseason game. Aaron Mosby made the team last year as a linebacker. Does he feel pressure to make the cut this year?
There's always pressure when you're trying to make a 53-man roster. That's just anyone in the league. It can go for anyone. So it's a little bit of pressure, but at the end of the day, you know, it's football. We've been playing it since we were little kids. So you just go out there, you know, try to have fun with it. Try to do your best and try to make a splash play here and there.
College football. The Badgers hold their final practice at UW-Platteville Saturday night before moving back to Madison. Baseball. The Brewers and the Mets in Milwaukee. First baseman Andrew Vaughn continues to hit home runs every series.
Vaughn, it's unbelievable. Three times on base. One time he just circled the bases. He's been special both offensively, defensively. Vaughn, Collins, and Perkins. They're the three that you got to look at. And Sal, those are great performances by those four.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds, warm and muggy tonight with showers and storms possible late and lows in the low 70s. Mostly cloudy for the weekend, scattered showers and thunderstorms, staying humid with high temperatures in the low to mid 80s. Currently it's 85.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I didn't know what the hell Malort was, so here now, our own Carol, head of traffic, she's brought in Malort. Down the hatch, cheers to Malort. Now, it went down fairly smooth, but the back end is ridiculously terrible. Judas Priest, that's terrible. Once is enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like my time with women.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matinee on air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matinee on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, if you feel like you missed out on the weekend news, no worries. Civic Media's Charlie Pittman, news director, will join us to keep us updated. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matinair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Maggie is enjoying some time off, but she'll be back again on Monday. In the meantime, enjoy this special presentation of The Maggie Dawn Show.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is The Maggie Dawn Show.
They're not there to serve you and me and the family farmer. They're there beholden to billionaires and their corporate overlords.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
You see our nation fraying and fracturing.
This is not normal. This is not the country that I grew up in.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Correct. We know better. We know better.
Clip that.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Hope you are having a very, very cool, if possible, afternoon, because it is steamy out there. I can take the heat, but that humidity gets me every time. Enough about the weather, though. Just a little bit of breaking news. Today, Groundhog Day, Tony Evers version, is now over. The governor announcing that he will not be seeking re-election in 2026. So, fields wide open. I have my personal favorite that I'd like to see run. You might hear about that tomorrow. Might have saved that for a little Ask Maggie, which you can catch tomorrow at 5:30 on this very fine program. But let's hear from the governor himself, Jacob Evers, in his own words.
I'm a science teacher at heart who ended up running for office and winning five straight statewide elections. So would I win if I ran the sixth time? Of course. No question about that. But whether I'd win or not has never been part of my calculus about running again. For five decades, my family has sacrificed to give me the gift of service. They're my world, and I owe to them to focus on doing all the things we enjoy and love doing together. It's why, Wisconsin, I'm announcing that I will not be running for a third term. I'm so humbled to be your governor. This is the best job I ever had. And folks, we are not done yet. There is, as always, much work to do. In Wisconsin, I'll be working just as hard as I have for the last 6 years to keep doing the right thing and deliver for you. So let's get to work. Forward for you and for Wisconsin always. Thank you.
I'm getting all choked up. I mean, granted, I've had a day, but that is the heart of decency and public service. And so I think we all owe the governor and his family, as he said, like an incredible amount of thanks. I'm sorry. It has been a day. But it is going to be a great day for each and every one of you because of the subject matter this afternoon. I think it is possibly the most important topic right after how do Democrats have a debate about policy without eating themselves alive, which I've talked about a few times on this fine program. But today we're going to be talking about how to save democracy, small d, about system reforms so that we have the government that we deserve. Every single one of us, Democrats, Republicans, progressives, conservatives, independents, so that we can actually see our voices in action. One of the rubrics by which I often suggest that we judge the quality of a democracy is whether or not the things that we widely agree on, we actually see becoming law. And when we don't see that, that means we got a problem. That means they're listening to the billionaires and the 100 millionaires and not people that earn paychecks. If you got a boss, I think your voice should be heard in government. And right now, I don't think they're getting heard much at all. So today is devoted to democracy. And how do we do this better together, as I like to say. First, I've got Nick Ramos, my really, really good friend. He's basically going to be my guest co-host.
Co-pilot. You know, you're Maverick. I'm Goose. You know.
Oh, I like that. You know, Who's the Iceman? Maybe the Iceman's TR?
Could be TR.
TR Edwards. He's staff counsel at Law Forward. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for being here. Again, we got Nick Ramos and TR kicking us off. Nick, of course, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. TR, my friend and colleague in the fight in the law and in courtrooms. Gentlemen, welcome. First and foremost, talking about redistricting and how legislative district lines get drawn and the imperative to have independent redistricting. Nick, set out the basics for people. What is redistricting? When does it happen? And how does it occur now in the state of Wisconsin?
So I'm sure everyone knows that every 10 years we have this thing called the census where, you know, our federal government is trying to understand just how populations migrate from cities and states to be able to allocate resources, you know, that match the numbers of the folks that are in those states and those cities. And a part of that process in a state like Wisconsin, the legislature, they, through the Constitution, have the power to draw maps based upon, you know, things within the Wisconsin Constitution. And it's based upon those populations. And they're supposed to be fair and balanced and all these things. But we know that over the last decade and change, we've had a group of lawmakers who have chosen to partisan gerrymander, which they have chosen to draw maps that are advantageous to one party exclusively, which means that no matter what, doesn't matter, Maggie, if you run a race in, you know, your district at home, you could be the best candidate since sliced bread. And it doesn't really matter because the game and the cards were already stacked against you before you even got to run from the starting line. And so, you know, folks have been enjoying seats that have been cushy and haven't had to really face any real accountability because they do not have any real competitive races that will ever happen with the maps that were previously drawn. And so now, you know, with the great work of Law Forward, and I'm sure TR will talk about that, you know, those guys were on a real crusade to try and deliver some maps through the courts, and which forced, you know, the legislature and the governor to sign a map while the Supreme Court was deliberating on some other maps that might not have been so advantageous to the Republicans that were in the law in the legislature. And
yeah,
now,
they were afraid. They're like, okay, we'll take this one because it might not suck so bad.
Which spanking hurts the least?
Yes.
And we'll take it. And then we'll see if we can go and win on these maps. And so right now we're in a really interesting era where we've seen these maps take effect. We've seen the legislature start to get more balanced because Wisconsin, we're a 50-50 state. I don't care who tells you that we're not. We are. We always are going to be because we're that balanced. And you know, now we need to get to really intentional because it's a short-term fix.
Yes.
Like right now we're enjoying these maps, but guess what? 2030 is the next census. And guess what? The legislature is still constitutionally the ones that get to draw maps. And until that changes, they can continue to put their thumb on the scale in either direction, Democrats or Republicans.
TR, it is a textbook conflict of interest for a legislator to pick their own voters.
Sure,
remind
thanks.
Folks about the role that Law Forward has played and some of the contours of the legal arguments that undergird this fundamental idea that it should be one person, one vote. And by the way, I'm going to say this, $1, right?
Ideally,
or billions of dollars should not translate into hundreds of billions of voices, right? One person, one vote, that is the constitutional imperative. Tell us a little bit about it, TR.
Sure. So
backing up. So Law Forward, we are a strategic nonpartisan litigation firm based here right in Madison. Our primary focus is on good government. It isn't supporting one party or another or helping them move any particular agenda forward. We just want to make sure that the government that we have works for everybody that exists under it. So that being said, our founding principle in 2020 was really seeing what we could do in the fight against maps that were gerrymandered and rigged to prevent that type of democracy from coming into being. So where we are now and really in that stage of the fight, as Nick alluded to, is really pushing back on what happened a little bit over a decade, well, a decade and a half ago now. Yeah. So in 2009, 2010, there became this big focus around the country on this project called Operation Red Map. And what happened in Operation Red Map was there was influence, support directed into state legislative races to put in position certain people who would be willing for the next decade of our country's history. This happened all across the country, Wisconsin being one of those states where it happened, you know, most egregiously. But there were efforts in place to see what they could do to shift how our democracy worked. And as you alluded to, Maggie, focused on creating a system by which the politicians got to select their constituents and by virtue of that, control their to be able to control the legislature in Wisconsin and many states going forward. And that had the effect of allowing them to then create maps under that process that Nick described earlier. So what we've been doing the last couple of years, in particular since 2022, is trying to see what we can do to push back against that. In 2022, we were a participant in the Johnson litigation, which were around the state legislative maps as well as the congressional maps. It resulted in, an extremely partisan map in the state legislature, and unfortunately, one that continued to entrench the makeup that we had at the time at the congressional level as well. So in Clark, which is the 2023 case, we decided to go after directly what happened around the state legislative maps. Now, we pushed for a challenge around partisan gerrymandering because there was really good evidence that proved and showed that came about in cases that existed before this, that there were efforts made by Republican legislators at the time to take control of our state legislature. And we believed, as you alluded to, Maggie, that that was a violation of people's one person, one vote. In other words, if I am in a certain district, that my vote counts less than somebody who's in another district because of decisions made by people who are supposed to be serving me. We think that's a violation of good government, so we attacked that at the state level. As you mentioned, we had some success there. I am not going to go so far as to say that they were scared of what may have happened if the court had gotten an opportunity to develop a map. But what we do know is that the litigation inspired them to take action and create maps that were more fair.
I'll say it. They were scared.
I was about to say, TR, you know, if you don't want to say it, we'll
Nick
say it.
Nick and I will say it. We'll go there. TR will be the adult in the room.
Yeah, for
Nick,
real.
Nick and I will just throw all the shade and lob grenades. Okay. So as I always do, folks, if you're just joining us, I've got TR Edwards, one of the lawyers with Law Forward. I've got Nick Ramos with me. He's the executive director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Today is a study. It is a deep dive into how do we save our democracy for everybody. And I mean this, you're listening to me out there, you voted for Donald Trump and you're thinking, I hate you, Maggie Dawn. You're this crazy lefty. What? No, I'm trying to save democracy for you. Nick is trying to save democracy for you. TR and Law Forward, we're trying to save democracy for everybody. And frankly, getting the rich people to go the hell, I have heard enough from rich folks. I just want to hear from regular people, and I want their voices to be reflected in our elected representatives. But gentlemen, you know that I always, always, always bring the receipts. So I have some of the data from the Assembly that goes back a few years. Now we're going to have to take care of a little bit of business, but when we come back on the other side, I'm going to show everybody those receipts. Yep, right here on the radio, it's going to be show and tell. I'm going to prove to you that Republicans were cheating. And if one party can cheat today, another party can cheat tomorrow. Amen. And that's why we need fair maps and independent redistricting committees. We continue this great discussion with Nick Ramos and T.R. Edwards. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Do you know how America became the best country on God's green earth? We made things, from automobiles to airplanes to textiles. We were the manufacturing epicenter of the world, the innovators that every other country turned to. I'm Katie Lyon, co-founder of Allegiance Flag Supply, and I'm here to tell you that the American spirit is alive and well at Allegiance, where we make American flags 100% in America. When you fly your American flag from Allegiance Flag Supply, you're not just honoring our country, you're supporting American men and women who proudly make the highest quality American flags, period. True patriots who put care into every stitch. See our full story at showallegiance.com and learn about our 100% American-based supply chain. Fly your flag from showallegiance.com with pride, because every flag says manufacturing is still alive and well in the U.S., and we are still the greatest country. Save $35 on your American flag set when you go to showallegiance.com.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Laura McCoy, she is a member of the Green Bay School Board.
In the 1990s, revenue caps were put into place, and Green Bay was a conservative, low-spending district. Mm-hmm. We've been struggling with that basically ever since. The people in our community have stepped up again and again to pass referendums. That's wonderful, but we need that per-pupil increase. We need the cash to keep the lights on, basically, and to pay our staff what they deserve.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Maggie is enjoying some time off, but it's your chance to win with Free Ticket Friday. Using the Civic Media app, text us the word HEAT for a chance to see the Brewers play Pittsburgh Wednesday, August 13th. That word again, HEAT, H-E-A-T. This special presentation of the Maggie Dawn Show continues now.
Gotta wait for the drop when it's Paul Simon. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We are celebrating democracy and talking about how to reform democracy so that everyday Wisconsinites, you and me and your entire family, we actually feel like the people that we elect are working for us and not a billionaire overlord, not special interest, not big oil, not big pharma. I could go on and on. Oh, and also not just working for their own interests. Oh,
what a novel concept that is, Maggie. Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into some of these reforms, but as I promised, I got to drop the receipts about how truly rigged Wisconsin's legislative maps were. And I'm going to just say this, is it only a bedrock principle in the United States that we have one person and one vote? We also are supposed to believe in the idea of majority vote. These things run together, of course. And one of the most pernicious and frankly, completely anti-democratic impacts of these stupidly gerrymandered maps, and we still got to fix the congressional ones too, is that it makes people disengage, because people feel like, well, it doesn't matter because my vote has been gerrymandered into a nullity, into a zero, right? Yeah. My voice doesn't count. So people disengage more and more and more. And what I'm going to say to you is gerrymandering means minority rule. Yep. It is anti-democratic in that way. And again, if your party does it today, the other party, the other guys can do it, you know, tomorrow, and it's not good for anybody. So the receipts, and then I'm going to ask the gentleman about what independent redistricting committees will look like and how do we make that a reality in Wisconsin. But here are the receipts. In 2008, Democrats, I'm talking assembly here, won 56% of the vote. They got 53% of the seats. So I'm going to just go, I don't like it, but it's least in the margins, right? Okay, I'm going to call rounding error. Yeah. Okay.
You're rounding up a lot, but yeah.
Yes. In 2010, so this is the census year, Democrats, and that's the midterms, folks, mm-hmm. Okay? Democrats got 42% of the votes cast in all assembly races across the state, and they only got 39% of the seats. Now, if you consider this, and we can see examples of this in our own state's legislature in this last biennial budget debate, we can see it in the House of Representatives and the Senate, where you've got the vice president casting the deciding vote, and you see these razor-thin margins. When you are in the minority, how much you're in the minority in a legislature deeply matters, right? Because then you only need a couple of defectors, and you have a seat at the table. Oh, yeah, that's what just happened in the biennial budget. Okay, so 2010, 42% of the votes, 39% of the seats. That's messed, okay? Just going to say it. And here's the big one. In 2012, Democrats won 53% of all votes cast in all assembly races that year, and they got 39% of the seats. And if you are a person of good faith, even if you're a Republican, you would say, if you're telling the truth with your hand on a Bible, that's messed up.
It's not fair, I'll tell you that.
Not supposed to be that way. So how are we going to make sure that that nobody gets cheated out of their vote? That we don't have minority rule? Nick, how are we going to make sure that doesn't happen?
Well, I mean, we've talked about independent redistricting and, like, let's get more intentional about what in the hell that means. So when thinking about it, right now, as I described before the break, the lawmakers get to ultimately draw the lines, make the choices, all that stuff. But think about it like this. What if we had a commission that was of civilians that were put through a process where it was clear that they were not going to be chiming in partisan grounds, but rather constitutional grounds, and drawing maps based purely on the populations and how they're supposed to be drawn? Like, we've seen states like Michigan and others be able to actually effectively do this, because right now the process, if you keep letting the lawmakers, and you describe this perfectly, the pendulum in politics swings in either direction. And right now, you know, it swung in the Republicans' direction. The Democrats could have gerrymandered the Republicans into oblivion and chose not to. And so now we can't have this tit-for-tat type political amphitheater. And we're right now, through the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, which is my organization, and the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition, we're right now taking the time to travel the state and develop a Wisconsin model, a model that is actually by the people, for the people. And whether or not the lawmakers want to actually take this up and take it seriously, I think the Republicans know that if things continue to be this way, then guess what? That pendulum is about to swing hard against them in a way that they may not get to see leadership or the type of majorities that they've enjoyed for a long time. And the Democrats are thinking about, like, all these other things too. And it's like, we need to make sure it's a fair process.
For everybody.
For everyone. I don't care how you vote, but we deserve to all be represented equally, and our vote should matter at the end of the day.
All votes should matter. And TR, let me ask you this. We got just over a minute. How do we make this happen in Wisconsin? How do we get to independent redistricting committees?
Sure. So there's two ways. One, we probably will need some type of legislative action. But short of that, there's actions like the one we just filed in state court Dane County Circuit Court just a couple of weeks ago. So as you mentioned, there was also the congressional maps that were gerrymandered in their own way, but they were actually gerrymandered in a slightly different way. They were made to be anti-competitive with large disparities in what the actual election results would be, which led to a less responsive government. So legislative action on top of litigation can hopefully create that thin, narrow path that we can have to have the type of government and responsive government that we're looking for.
That we deserve. TR, you're welcome to stick around. We got two experts on this from the Campaign Legal Center out of Washington, D.C., their senior legal counsel and their vice president and general counsel. We're going to talk a little ethics and corruption and fixing this democracy for everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. A recent report by the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin shows a growing number of county sheriff's offices participating in a collaborative program with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. The report from ACLU points to an increase in offices joining the 287G program. According to ICE.gov, this program authorizes ICE to delegate authority to state and local law enforcement officers to perform specified immigration officer functions. One of the key functions of the program is to give authority to local law enforcement to identify and remove criminal aliens. The Wood County Sheriff's Office is one of six county offices that joined the program this year. Wood County Sheriff Sean Becker says this doesn't change how his department operates.
The partnership that we have now hasn't changed in my whole career.
During that 30-year career, Sheriff Becker says the only thing that has changed now is the enforcement level on the federal side.
It didn't matter who was president. We've met with ICE people. We've had ICE holds on people who have committed crimes in Wood County.
Becker says their protocol is the same even after this partnership.
If somebody gets arrested in Wood County for committing a crime in Wood County and they are an illegal alien, all we do is notify ICE. Then it's period. Then it's up to them if they want to put a hold on them.
There's only one ICE hold currently in the Wood County Jail, according to Sheriff Becker, and that person has been accused of a homicide in Marshfield.
Once that person, I'm confident, will be convicted of the homicide, I still don't want them going to the other country that they're from. Need to spend the rest of their life in our prisons.
Becker says if someone commits a crime in our community, the key is due process for everyone, illegal or not. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Wednesday has been a big hit for Netflix, winning 4 Emmys last year. The show, a loose spinoff of the Addams Family, follows Wednesday Addams as she comes to terms with her powers during her years at the Nevermore Academy. Wednesday stars Jenna Ortega, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Fred Armisen, and Nightlight regular Jamie McShane. The first part of Season 2 is currently available on Netflix, and the final 4 episodes will drop September 3rd. There's news about the summer I turned pretty. Not the summer I... Pete Schwabe turned pretty. Still waiting for that. But actual news about the Amazon Prime show. The show is based on a book trilogy of the same title and for the most part has gone step by step with the storylines. Producers of the show have decided to go off book, so to speak, and add a sex scene. No word yet on as to what the sex scene entails or to what base the characters go to. My guess is they go all the way, but it could just be third base. The story follows a love triangle between Isabel and brothers Jeremiah and Conrad. Sounds saucy. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds, warm and muggy tonight with showers and storms possible late and lows in the low 70s. Mostly cloudy for the weekend, scattered showers and thunderstorms, staying humid with high temperatures in the low to mid 80s. Currently, it's 87.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Actor Neil McDonough. If you saw his face or if you Google him right now, you'll recognize him. He refuses to kiss another woman on camera. On the one hand, I applaud him for not kissing anyone other than his wife, but she says I don't have a problem with him if he wanted to kiss another woman. As someone who's done it, it doesn't really feel like cheating because there's people in the room. It's very mechanical.
You did write it yourself.
I did write it myself.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens and our Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr joins me for Bar Band Friday Night. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Maggie is enjoying some time off, but it's your chance to win with Free Ticket Friday. Using the Civic Media app, text us the word HEAT for a chance to see the Brewers play Pittsburgh Wednesday, August 13th. That word again, HEAT, H-E-A-T. This special presentation of the Maggie Dawn Show continues now.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Today is a day that is about democracy. Small d. And don't go, oh, they're talking about this highfalutin. No. We're going to talk about real reforms to make sure that our democracy, our local governments, to our state governments, and certainly at the federal level, actually are working for you. And yes, you, I'm talking to you Republicans as well. It should work for everybody. And that means that our voices actually have to matter to elected officials. We're going to talk about corruption as well. We got two new special guests joining us. I'm going to bring them on in just a second. But my friend T.R. Edwards of Law Forward, you were trying to make a complete thought before we had to rush to break. So, sir, I know you got to go very shortly, but I'll give you the floor. I want you to get your entire thought out there.
Okay, sure. So at baseline, in a 50-50 state, it really doesn't make sense, frankly, that 75% of our seats in the House of Representatives are controlled by one party. But getting beyond that, right, there was an entrenchment that happened in 2011. So going back a bit, there was an entrenchment that happened back then that we believe represents an anti-competitive gerrymander. So even beyond the partisan aspect of it, which is egregious in its own way, the idea of creating a system where not only are the seats partisan gerrymandered, but even within the districts themselves, there's almost no ability for someone from the other party to have any say in who actually gets elected. That leads to greater polarization. It leads to, as Maggie said earlier, people who are less engaged and active in our democracy. Because again, why would I participate? Particularly if I have an idea that's outside of the mainstream, why would I participate in a political sphere that doesn't actually embrace me? So we also found through our research that the median, so this is half or more than this, over 30% difference in the actual election. So whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, there's a 30% margin that you win by in our state elections, in our congressional elections since 2011. So that gives you an idea of kind of how you can lead to this fracture and fissure that leads to people being less engaged. So with that, we filed a suit in the Dane County Circuit Court called Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy versus WEC, where we're challenging the makeup of our maps as an anti-competitive gerrymander. So while we do believe there may be aspects of a partisan gerrymander as well, something distinct happened, especially compared to the process that our state legislative maps took, where there was a specific and intentional effort to actually create less competition and make sure that the incumbents were protected in that most recent election. And then in 2022, under the lease change framework, when new maps were adopted, even though they were governor's maps, because they were under that lease change, which is now gone bye-bye, because they were under that lease change, they carried forward a lot of that intent from 2011. And now we're
that at anti-competitiveness. Change that. And this is, listen, I threw a little bit of shade last week at a state elected official in Wisconsin, because my question was, hey, you run in a royal blue district every year, or excuse me, every, I forget what the what's the Senate cycle?
It's four for the Senate.
You run in a royal blue district. Don't come out here and give me the like progressive talking points and go, all this is doable. You have no downside risk. That is absurd. TR, I know you got to go, My friend, say hello to your beautiful wife for me. You take care. I will see you soon. Thank you for fighting for democracy. Folks, if you're just joining us today, is how we are going to save our democracy. I got Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign with me, and we are very pleased to bring on Cedric Payne, the vice president of the Campaign Legal Center, and Elizabeth Schimmick, the senior legal counsel, also with the Campaign Legal Center. Welcome to you both. I appreciate you being here. Thank you for your patience. I'm going to just jump right on in, Cedric. The Supreme Court has told us that money equals speech, which every regular American that earns a paycheck, right, and doesn't have a trust fund knows is garbage. How do we fix that problem?
You're right to start right there, because that's one of the biggest problems we have. If everyone thinks that they can contribute to an election the same way they can talk about it, then you think there's an unlimited amount of money that you can give to the system. But we are seeing that that concept just does not work. And Beth works on this as the expert who deals with this most often. So I turn it over to her to talk about this big problem that we're having.
Yeah, thank you so much. And it's truly so good to be here, Maggie and Nick. As we've already mentioned a little bit, Citizens United, I think a lot of people are familiar with, really opened that floodgate to unlimited corporate spending in our elections, led to the creation of super PACs, where, you know, here in Wisconsin, I live and work out of Sun Prairie, so I get all the same ads that you guys do every election season. When Citizens United kind of opened that floodgate to unlimited corporate money, unlimited big spending, it created a lot of problems, particularly around transparency, where we have all of these dark money, secret spending outfits, these wealthy special interests that are really trying to influence people's votes without actually disclosing where their money comes from or what their interests are. And there are a lot of really interesting solutions that different states are experimenting with. Certainly happy to get into that if you guys have questions. But it has really become the theme of elections in the U.S. and in the states individually, where I think the Brennan Center did some research and saw that last cycle we reached a record high of $1.9 billion spent just on federal elections when it comes to that independent spending. That's not even looking at state by state.
Imagine all the badger care that could buy. You know what I'm saying?
Or even
little
Costco
emergency,
hot dog.
Yeah, little emergency food assistance. I'm sorry, Beth, I interrupted you. Please continue.
No. It's true. When you look at the amount of spending that's happening, I think a lot of people look at that and think, what else could we be doing with that money? And really, who is served by all of this spending that's happening? You know, who really benefits from our airwaves just being flooded with these billions of dollars of ads every 2 to 4 years? It's incessant. But that's where, you know, a lot of states are looking at different kinds of reforms that help to, you know, make sure voters have their right to know who's spending to influence them. That's actually a different part of Citizens United, was the court saying in an 8-1 part of the decisions, that's 8 justices agreed. A pretty rare thing these days. Even if corporate interests have a right to speak, have the right to spend as much as they want, voters also have a First Amendment right to know who is spending. Dark money doesn't have to be dark. And that's where states like Arizona are really taking the lead. Prop 211, which passed in 2022,
yes.
That's the Voters' Right to Know Act, is the actual official title. They looked at the system where, you know, in most states, when you have these big money groups spending, you might see, you know, paid for by Americans for America. And then when they file their report.
I'm sorry, it's like the what of the what? Like, we're good people, Inc. You have no idea.
Yeah, it's these names that mean nothing to the average person. And you can go and look at their reports and they might say, you know, here are our immediate donors. It gets Corporation C, Pass-Through, LLC B, and a couple individuals. But that doesn't give us a lot of information about where that money's coming from, particularly when we know that sophisticated, wealthy special interests are using different shell games to hide that. So what Arizona did is they passed this innovative new law, the Voters' Right to Know Act. 72% of Arizonans in purple Arizona pass that law, which I think is really speaks to the interest people have in daylight in our campaign finance system. So anyway, Arizona passed this. And what it does is it doesn't just look at the immediate donors. It looks at the chain of donations. So say if I, wealthy special public interest lawyer, you know, had $1 million and I don't like armadillos in Arizona, I might, you know, seed my funding through this group and that group, a little bit here, a little bit there, with the wink, wink, nudge, nudge that I want it all to end up in Arizona to spend on the Exterminate Armadillos Act. That wouldn't have been known before, but with Prop 211, it looks at these big sources of election spending and it says, you know, if you're gonna spend this big money in our state, you have to reveal not just the immediate donor, but look at all the people that these big amounts of money pass through and aggregate it all the way to the back and file a report so people can know that this wasn't funded by Arizonans. This wasn't, you know, based on our interests in, you know, the state of Arizona. It was based on Beth Shimek in Wisconsin, who just really hates armadillos.
Well, we've got, and that we've really got, you know, turns the Elon the money and the and the loop and the loophole in Wisconsin law, which was done under Governor Walker and the GOP-controlled legislature, where unlimited money can be given to the parties within the state, which, again, just another loophole. So you got dark money, and then you just dump it all into the parties, and they spend it. Nick, I know you had a question for
us. Oh, yeah. And Beth, you know, I want to, again, I mean, we get the opportunity to speak to an expert like you, so I'm very grateful. And one of the things I'm thinking about is we're coming off the heels of this record, again, record spending Supreme Court race where it was over $100 million. And we're talking about the solutions, but why are we here in this situation right now? I mean, like, I think Maggie was starting to allude to some of the, you know, loopholes and things, but like, I want to just give folks out there that might not be so in tuned, you know, a little bit of the landscape as to why it's the Wild West when it comes to campaign finance. And then, you know, when we get time talking about what are some real solutions that could be applied to Wisconsin to try and fix this problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll start with kind of why we're here when it comes to our Supreme Court races. So I think a lot of people are already aware, but maybe in the current election cycle, it doesn't feel that way. Wisconsin's judicial races are nonpartisan races. They're not supposed to be about party. They're supposed to be about the principles of people who we are electing to interpret our laws, to hand down justice in our state.
Because judges have to be impartial.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that becomes a question when, you know, we see Citizens United made it possible for people to spend all this money independently. What does that mean in the context of our elections? I think when we see all this big money coming in, when we see political parties picking favorites, it raises a lot of questions for people in Wisconsin about, you know, can my judge, my justice, really provide unbiased justice when someone who might have a case come before them was able to spend a bunch of money to support their campaign, and that's known. So Wisconsin actually did at one point have one of my favorite solutions when we look at this kind of issue in judicial races. In 2009, we actually had a public campaign financing program for our judges. Now that was repealed in 2011, but the way public campaign financing works is candidates can opt in and they receive government money. There are a lot of different models, but for judges, typically it's just a lump sum of government money based on a certain amount of support.
It's so important.
I can come back
and
to
that,
this.
Yeah, and that model has been used successfully in many other countries.
Yes.
And also, and how about this states. One? This is another good one. Limit the window in which the money can be spent.
Wow.
If there's any of it, right? Wow. Like, less campaigning? I think we'd all sign up for that. When we come back, we're going to talk corruption with Cedric Payne. More about reforms with Elizabeth Shimek, both of the Campaign Legal Center, and of course, my friend Nick Ramos. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Showman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for attorney general, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and state treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's fun to look back and laugh now.
That was a bad day.
There are marriages that have died on less. Our first actual fight as a married couple was about the house rules of playing Monopoly. We've not really played Monopoly since. When you can modify an app, you can modify the rules of the game. Maybe there are times when you are better off just playing the computer. Play something else with your spouse instead.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt and Air on Air.
I have a baby bird stuck in a birdhouse.
Its head is
littered. Head is stuck.
Terry on the text line says, if you can detach the birdhouse, bring it to Ace Hardware, they can help get the bird out?
Really? Richard from Waukesha, you get the last word on this.
I like the idea of the Ace Hardware.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But some advice is don't let them talk you into a remodeled bathroom.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yes.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Maggie is enjoying some time off, but it's your chance to win with Free Ticket Friday. Using the Civic Media app, text us the word HEAT for a chance to see the Brewers play Pittsburgh Wednesday, August 13th. That word again, HEAT, H-E-A-T. This special presentation of the Maggie Dawn Show continues now.
It is Thursday, and we're busy saving democracy right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am your host, Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Got a great co-host with me this afternoon. His name is Nick Ramos. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We are privileged to be joined by two friends and allies in our fight to save democracy for everybody and to root out corruption wherever it may be. We have Kedrick Payne, Vice President of the Campaign Legal Center, as well as his counsel, Elizabeth Schimmick, also of the Campaign Legal Center. Elizabeth was describing a couple of reforms to try to target dark money. So while the Supreme Court has said that money is speech, what they did say very clearly is that we, the citizenry, have a right to know who's doing all that speaking with their dollars, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And so transparency laws. Now, my preference would be to ban entities from spending any money. We can't do that.
Be nice.
But at least we can start with the transparency. We also talked about public funding of campaigns. That works really well in some states. It works extremely well in Britain, in the United Kingdom. We talked about limiting the window where money can be spent on advertising related to campaigns. In other words, shortening campaigns. Do I hear you all screaming yes at your radio? We could all do with a little bit less of that.
Less mailers, yes. Less texts, less calls.
Less door knocking. Less door knocking. But one of the things that concerns or should concern all of us when we're talking about the dark money problem that already exists in this country is doubling down on dark money in politics through cryptocurrency. Now, next week, Thursday, our entire show is going to be all about crypto. So mark your calendars. Don't miss that. But Kedrick Payne, explain. Congress just had a hearing 2 weeks ago about crypto. We'll get into the direct corruption in a second. But doesn't crypto pose an even nastier? It's sort of doubling down on dark money because it's not transparent.
That's right. Crypto has so many possible problems with it when it comes to government. You have the one level with where the money that goes to these crypto companies is basically being converted into using to gaining political power. So these crypto companies and the executives are spending so much money to elect officials who will support their industry right at the same time when it is being regulated or deregulated by the government. And you see them doing this not only in the executive branch with buying favor with the new administration, but also with Congress. So it's just a situation where you don't know where this money is coming from, but you see how it's being used and used to promote the industry.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to discuss, is this a security or is it subject to regulation at all? Like, don't forget, they tried to sneak into the big brutal bill, a 10-year moratorium on states regulating crypto. MTG didn't even know about that part before she voted for it. I digress. Kedrick, I want to ask a follow-up question because crypto, I can see it as a force for good in certain circumstances, access to financial markets, those kinds of things. But I am so deeply concerned about the idea that, you know, if a president wanted to issue a meme coin, people could, you know, and maybe a governor does or a mayor or Nick over here when he decides to run for office, heaven please, that someone, a foreign government or a bad actor or a member of ISIS or what, pick your villain, could try to literally buy an elected official literally by buying their meme coin. Am I imagining this?
No, you're not imagining it. And the most shocking thing is that there was a recent poll that showed that a large majority of people in the U.S. don't really even care about the fact that the president is using this meme coin to, it looks like, just gain his own personal wealth. And it may be because people don't even understand what it is, because first you have to explain what's a meme coin. Then you have to try to explain what's crypto. And we see in the meantime, while people in the general public are trying to figure out what it is, the industry itself is very sophisticated and is able to buy this political power, influence in ways that could have consequences for years to come.
Yeah, that is so scary to me. Again, we've got a crypto expert joining us next Thursday. We're then going to talk to a crypto ethics expert for the second half of that program. And I just want to say this. A meme coin is supposed to be a toy, okay? So let's just call it Monopoly money. It's supposed to just be kind of dumb. Just a silly thing, and you buy it because you think it's cool. Okay, so yeah, we're going to call it, like, I don't know, Pokemon Go. Pick your toy, right? But imagine that toy is owned by the president, and we can never know who's paying him for the Pokemon Go or the Monopoly money or how much they're giving him. That's the problem. I mean, we can talk about the emoluments clause all you want, but that doesn't make a hill of beans difference if this meme coin that Trump put out before he was elected, oh, and one for his wife too, and then he sold dinner with him through the meme coin. Well, since when did all of America go, you know what? Purchasing access to elected officials is completely fine. That'll root out the corruption right quick. So, Kedrick, we've got just a little bit, about a minute left. I want to ask you this. If there was one thing, and it doesn't have to be about crypto, but if there was one corruption problem that you would suggest voters talk to their elected officials about, what would it be?
It has to be the congressional stock trading problem, because that's something that your official can commit to with you, with the constituents. They can say, with or without the law, I'm not going to trade stock in individual companies. And we see how big the problem is, which is in the past few weeks when the tariff announcements made the market so volatile, the amount of trading was enormous, and it needs to stop by members of Congress.
Kedrick, will you come back and join me, Elizabeth, as well, and we will dig into more of this corruption because I really appreciate your expertise that you bring to the program. That was Kedrick Payne of the Campaign League. Kedrick Payne of the Campaign Legal Center and Elizabeth Schimek. You're going to want to stay tuned, folks. Nick stays with me. We've got a panel of experts, including Professor Michael Wagner and Christy McGivelry of Voters Not Politicians, because that's what it's all about. We're reclaiming democracy here on the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. We don't know where, but President Trump said today the talks with Russian President Putin are on.
I'll be meeting very shortly with President Putin.
Today was Trump's deadline for Putin to come to a deal on ending the war in Ukraine. There has been international condemnation of Israel's decision to control Gaza City at the UN.
The Secretary General reiterates his urgent appeal for a permanent ceasefire.
Spokeswoman Stephanie Tremblay. Firefighters are battling another dangerous wildfire in California, the Canyon Fire north of Los Angeles. Reporter Nick Sachevich.
The California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection said the Canyon Fire is burning at a rapid speed, and it's threatening power lines and multiple communities.
Astronaut James Lovell, who was the commander of the Apollo 13 mission that managed to return to Earth after an oxygen tank explosion, has died. He was 97 years old. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.